We are, it's working here, we are up to the end of Perek Gimel. We're almost up to Perek Dalet, a few more psukim. Let me turn to the page. Okay, let's begin with, I just want to point out one ha'ara I came across this morning in Pasuk Gimel, v'neshloach sefarim b'yad ha'rotzim, el kol medinos ha'melech la'hashmid, la'harog la'vedetz kol ha'yudim, minar v'yad zokein, tafinashim v'yom echad. I don't have a good answer, but we touched upon it yesterday. What is the significance in this order? First is the nar, then is the zokein, then is the taf, then is the nashim. If you were writing this pasuk, what order would you put these four groups? You'd probably say taf, nar, zokein, nashim. I don't know where you put the nashim. Where would you put the nashim? Where exactly would you put the, you can play around with this for a long time, but obviously the fact that the order has been selected in this form has significance. So I over here in the Mishnah, he suggests that Nar V'yad Zokein, the these two represent the koyach of Torah. Nar means a young man. And a young man, what did young men do at this stage in their life? They would go education, and one being that you're Jewish education. Zokein represents the leadership of Klal Yisrael. So his focus was primarily the fact that the order was written in this priority. Like obviously, this priority is telling the people that on this particular day, we're going to destroy the Jewish people. There's a priority. Who will be killed first? The Nar. The Nar is the first. Why is the Nar the first? Because that represents the future of Klal Yisrael. What?
I think we find later.
Yeah.
Intended to start with the young children.
He intended to start. He came. Do we really find that? There's a medrash. He came on that day to Mordechai. The children were frightened. They ran away.
No. He said he was going to start with them.
Okay, but here it's pretty clear. He's giving the order Nar V'yad Zokein. What would happen if you only can remove from Klal Yisrael one group? Which would bring the greatest harm to Klal Yisrael? Of course, it's Nar, because the Taf and the Nashim, they are anyway, they're vulnerable to the culture of society. If there is no Nar and there is no Zokein, so Mimela, the Taf and the Nashim will assimilate. If you take away the Nar, though, the Nar represents the true future of Klal Yisrael. If you were to take away the Nar, we still have the Zokin, which represents the model. The model means, we know Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he wanted a doctor to save Rabbi Tzadok. At the time of the Chum Bayis Rishon, in order we should have an example, that if we have in Klal Yisrael Zikanim, who serve as examples for the young generation, that also can make a difference. It also enhances the future of Klal Yisrael. Okay, I just want to point out, I don't have it really clear, but we just want to make that point that here we have a significant order, and there's something to it. Okay, let's go down to Pasuk Yudah.
You know, in terms of the young men,
they go out into
the most resistance, the old men.
Okay.
Not so much
okay. Possibly in Echanami.
The women you would want to keep.
Anyway, they would take for themselves the women. In Echanami. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk Yudalit, Pashegen Hakazan. The word Pashegen is a hard word to translate. Rashi translates it Loshan Arami, Sipur Haksaf. Pashegen is an Aramaic word, it's not a Hebrew word. Why? What is it doing in the Megillah? Megillah is either Hebrew or it is Persian. Yet, for whatever reason, it's not clear why. I didn't see a good reason why. We have here an Aramaic word. Whenever you have a word of a different language in the pasuk, that right away is a stop sign. There was significance. Why couldn't we find the Hebrew equivalent? Why couldn't we find, or at least the Persian? For whatever reason, it says here, Pashegen, the explicit, the explanation of the text. It could be that Aramaic, you know, we know that Aramaic is the translation. We have Shnayim Mikra V'Echo Targum. The Targum, the focus of Targum is to explain, to be mefarish. Chorish to explain the meaning of the Hebrew word. Hebrew was sacred. Not every, and we discussed this at length a few weeks ago, that not every person was fluent in Hebrew. Hebrew was a text, a language for only holy people. The common man understood Aramaic. So it could be when you want to actually describe the concept of understanding of translation and elucidation, we specifically use the word in Aramaic because the language of Aramaic is the language that traditionally for Klal Yisrael is the language which explains things that are unclear. So that maybe that is a reason why we are going out of our way to focus on an Aramaic word, because it is the essence of clarity. Pashegin HaKisav, the explanation of the text,
of the text itself.
The text, Pashegin of the
recording. That's how the Rashi word is translated right below in our edition. It's translated as text.
Text blas, the text. Sibur HaKisav. Okay, Sibur, but it's Lashon Arami.
No, so, down below.
Okay, yeah, Haksav, dar.
Tochen. You don't have it, we have it in our.
Oh, yeah, Tochen, okay. Okay, Sipur Haksav. Sipur means the relating of what was written in the message. What was the message of the letters, the Svarim, that were distributed to the population? Lihinosein Das, Bechol Medino Umedino, that was enacted as law. This was not just a recommendation. It was not just a greetings from the president, an address, a radio address Sunday morning. This was law. Lihinosein Das, the following matter, you don't have a choice. If you know of a Jew, kill him. Lihinosein, to be issued as law, Bechol Medino Umedino, Golui L'chol Ho'amim, and it should be revealed to all of the nations. Lihios Asidim Layom Hazeh, the goal was to be prepared for this very day. You should be prepared on this day, on the 13th day of Adar, to be prepared. That was what was written in the Ksav. Now, this pasuk is very, very vague, and it only really makes sense if we learn, as we learned yesterday from the Mefarshim, that Pasuk Yud Dalid can only really be understood with Pasuk Yud Gimel, with an understanding that there were two letters. There were two letters distributed to every single Medina. One letter was sealed and one letter was opened. The letter that was opened is this letter, Pasuk Yud Dalid, which means that Pashegen, it makes it a little bit easier if you look at the Targum. Now, it's not here, it's true, it's not in the Targum, this Targum, it's in the Targum Sheni. Again, as we mentioned before, the word Pashegin is a very difficult word to translate. The Targum Sheni translates Pashegin, the Gilui, the revealed, the revelation. Somehow Pashegin is the revelation, the text, that the letter that was revealed, all it said was, there is a law that's being passed, B'chol Medina Medina, Golui L'chol Ho'amim, and it should be revealed to all the nations. And what is the law? The law is that you should be prepared to do something special on the 13th day of Adar. This letter that was revealed, that was posted in public, did not tell you the details. The only thing it said is, get ready. Get ready on the 13th day of Adar. The other letter that is sealed and is hidden will be read, and you will have to fulfill it on that day.
Get ready for whenever they open the other
letter. Right, and when will they open the other letter? The other letter was to be opened on the 13th day of Adar. And what would it say in that other hidden letter? That's what it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel. In Pasuk Yud Gimel it says, V'nishlach Sifarim. Notice Sifarim is B'loshon Rabim. Simply it means he's sending out a million letters to every single Medina. But it's deeper. It means that every single Medina received two letters. V'nishlach Sifarim. And what did it say in the letter? In the secret letter, it said, L'hashmid, L'harog, L'abed, it's called HaYehudim, the Jewish people. Minav Yad, Zokin Tavna Shem Yom Echad, But Pashegin Hakisov, the open letter, the public letter that was for the Hamoinam to see, that it did not tell you the details that you should destroy the Jewish people. But rather, all it said there, that was revealed, he really says explicitly, revealed, it was revealed this, the context, the text of this letter, lihiyos asidim layom hazeh, that you should be prepared to do something important on this particular day. And what will you do on that particular day? Well, when that day arrives, we'll open up the other letter, which we know from Pasuk Gimel says to destroy the Jewish people. Why couldn't this announcement be made immediately? Because it wouldn't work. If you would send out the letter immediately to kill all the Jews, the people would they would run away. The information, people would receive the letters at different points in time. They would run away. The plan would not be like with Blitzkrieg. It would not be able done with shock and awe. If the plan will go into motion at one moment in time throughout the entire world, then it will be successful. But if the plan will be implemented little by little, as people get the letter, they'll read it, they'll think about it, the Jews will hear about it, they'll right away defend themselves, they'll run away, they'll do this, they'll do that, the plan will not succeed. So it was a tactic that Haman employed to succeed by issuing two separate letters. One letter was Golui L'chol Ho'amim, that's called the Pashegen HaKesav, the open letter, and the other letter was the concealed letter, which was to destroy the Jewish people, La Yehudim, Taf and Noshim, Nar and Zokain, Biyom Echot. Okay, now let's see the Targum, Pasuk Yudal. The Targum says, Di Tagma Dichsova. The Tagma, I'm assuming over here, means it's the Sipur Dvarim. It's the translation of Pashegin, which I assume like Rashi, it means the text of the letter. Lemhevei misyehiv gezerto b'chol pilcho pilcho, which will be delivered as the law in every single district. Mefarsem l'chol amamaya, and it will be public knowledge for all nations. Lemhevei hoin ziminin liyom hadein. What was the public announcement? The public announcement is be prepared for an event that will take place on this particular day, the 13th day of Adar. Okay, Pasik Itesvav. Horotzim, the runners, Yatsu Dichufim Bidvar HaMelech, they ran out, Dichufim, they were pushed, they were under pressure. But I didn't finish the Rashi. Let's go back to the Rashi. I apologize. Pashegin is Loshon Aram, Yisibar HaKsav, Lihinosein Dos Tzivui HaKsav, Shehoye Oimer Lihinosein Chol Gezeres HaMelech. The command of the letter was a law is to be enacted to do an event on a certain day. Galui L'chol Ha'amim Davar Zed. This thing will become, this matter was revealed L'chol Ha'amim. What was the matter? As it says, to be prepared. Lihiyos Asidim Layayim HaZed. To be prepared. Okay, but next passage.
It's like a table of contents. It's a text.
That's Pashegin. Okay, Pashegin again means one of two things. Rashi tells us it's an Aramaic word which means the text of the letter. According to the Targum Sheni, Pashegin is a word which means the revelation, the portion of the letter that was exposed for the masses to read. And all it said was, be prepared for an event that will take place on a given day.
Plus, translation is copies of the
Ksav. Okay, very good.
Languages.
Copies of the Ksav in all the various languages and scripts. Okay, Pasik Tes Vav Harotzim Yatsu Dichavim Dvar HaMelech, the Rots and the Runners.
Did you say the Targum?
Yes, the Targum. I just said the Targum. Yeah, I read the whole Targum. Okay, Pasik Tes Vav Harotzim Yatsu Dichavim Dvar HaMelech, the Runners, they went out pressed. They were under a lot of pressure to succeed, to immediately deliver this message through the command of the king. V'hados nitna b'shan habira, and the law was issued in Shushan Habira. It was passed. V'amelech, that was the law that was related in the letters. It was part of law, legislation. All of the people voted. It was enacted. Everything was ready to go. V'hamelech v'chamon yeshu l'shtos. The king and Haman, they sat to drink. V'ir Shushan Navocha, and the city of Shushan was confused. Okay, there's a lot going on. Let's first see Rashi. Pasuk Tezvav. Rashi says, V'hados nitna b'shushan, mokam shohoy hamelech sham, in the capital, nitan hachoik bo bayom, the law was passed on that day. L'hiyos asidim l'yom yudgimu l'choydesh ador l'kach, And therefore, the next words are the Jews, Shabbat, in the city, they were bewildered. They were confused. So the law was passed. What was the law? Rashi makes it very clear. The law was nothing more than to be prepared. Everyone should be prepared to the event that's going to take place, that's written, that's concealed in the hidden document on the 30th day of Adar. The Jewish people knew immediately what the law was. How did they know what the law was? Because since they saw the law was signed, we mentioned yesterday, by Haman ben Hamdasa Ha'agogi Tzorer HaYehudim, since the essence of this person was to bring harm to the Jewish people, anything that he did was against them, they knew, they got a sense immediately that they were slated for harm.
Did they get copies of the letter too?
Yes, everyone got copies. The whole world got copies. What? They were not allowed to. They were not allowed. According to this understanding, there were two letters. There was a letter that was a part that was exposed, and there was a part that was concealed. The part that was concealed, no one dared to open. I guess it was penalty of death. No one would risk their life to open the letter portion that was concealed. To the whole Medina, to every city, and it was posted in the post office, public letters. All of everyone got the message. The message was a major event, a major law, a major event is going to happen on the 13th day of Adar, and everyone should be prepared, scheduled, free your calendar. On the 13th day of Adar, make sure you have no business, make sure you're available, come to the post office, and be prepared for the reading of what it says in the concealed portion of this letter. What was in the concealed portion of this letter, no one knew. No one knew. Now, there are different versions of no one actually. Some say they did know. They knew that a nation would be obliterated. There would be a call for arms to destroy a specific nation. But no one knew which nation it was. Was it the Jewish people? Was it the Egyptians? Was it the Babylonians? No one exactly knew which nation was slated for harm. But the Jewish people, they figured it out very quickly, because the one that signed the letter, the clerk, right? They had a whole discussion, a whole news yesterday. One of the states, they issued that the same gender marriages, you don't, the clerk doesn't have to have his name on the certificate. In order, what? So whatever, right? So this, like, so by Haman, it's not the way it was. His name was written all over it. He was proud that his name was signed on this letter. When the Jewish people saw that a nation is slated for destruction and it was signed by Haman, there was no doubt that it was referring to the Jewish people, because Haman, by nature, is a person who is Haman ben Hamdasa HaAgagi. He is the Tzorer HaYehudim, and therefore.
It's
going to be the Jews. So therefore, that's why the Jews were confused. Now the word...
There was no investigative reporters who uncovered the dirt.
Uncovered? Maybe it was, there was a gag order?
Yes, obviously there are leaks.
There are leaks. Well, maybe society wasn't so sophisticated like it is today.
Haman took options on Jewish properties.
It could be, you know, today it's hard for us to imagine. You have the internet, the cell phone, you have all these newspapers. We live in a country, we're blessed, freedom of speech. I mean, what more do you want than that? But go back 200 years, freedom of speech didn't exist. You don't open up your mouth. You keep your mouth quiet, and there's no information didn't flow freely through the airwaves. It was possible. You're living in ancient times, not such ancient times, but you're living in times.
Nowadays, you can't do it every place.
Even today, like I mentioned yesterday. I don't know anything about this, but I say over the last few weeks they've been talking about. You have to be blind not to realize that on the news they're talking about Star Wars, right? There's this movie Star Wars, and I read on Drudge that an unprecedented security and tactics and secrecy went into preventing information about the plot of what it's all about for the release of this film. And I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming they succeeded, right? I don't know. Are there any leaks? But if they, even in today's day and age, it's possible to do such a thing. Right, that's what they're bragging about it. That until the release, come on, no one knew anything about it. The only what they released, so achas kama v'kama. When you're living in a country of a dictatorship, and people are punished with death for looking at the king the wrong way, and there is no information flowing on the airwaves, achas kama v'kama. It's possible to keep a secret. It's possible to suppress the information, and that's what the Mefarshim explain. These two psukim, Yud Gimel Yud Aleph. It was a technique. There are two letters. It could be it's a very popular technique. It could be this was something that was very common in ancient times. There were two letters. One was the basic letter to be prepared, Lios Asidim Layom Hazeb. And then there was the letter that was read, Bo Bayom. And the letter Bo Bayom, they knew, according to some, they knew the basic agenda to destroy a specific nation, but the details were not known, and that was a technique which allowed them to implement the plan with perfection, and no one would be able to escape.
They had to make copies. They had to make 1,000 copies.
Yeah.
So they had to use scribes.
Okay.
Who knew how to write them?
Special people. That's
Jews knew how to write.
Not necessarily. Obviously, if they were able to suppress the information, they knew what they were doing. Obviously, we don't know all the pratim, but it was obviously done. Okay. So now. It says over here the law was issued in Shushan. Let's first see the Targum Pasuk Tes Vav. Rihut Nin, the runners, Nafku Zirizin, they went out with diligence. Bepiskama de Malka, through the decree of the king. So they went out, so the word dechufim means with zrizim, the bedvar hamelach, the piskam, the dvar hamelach is through the command of the king, and already was publicized, because that's the capital. In other cities it took time until the runners reached, but in Shushan Habir the information was public knowledge immediately that everyone should be ready for this particular day. They sat down to drink wine. Notice everything always comes back to wine. It does not say here what they drank. Maybe it was vodka. Maybe it was seltzer. It was Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, Diet Coke. Who drinks Coca-Cola anymore today? Today is only Diet Coke. So, and what did it say? The Karta de Shushan, no, everything comes back to wine. The whole Megillah revolves around a Mishte Yayin. The Megillah began with a Mishte Yayin. Every single significant event is always accompanied by Yayin. The Karta de Shushan Mis Arbala, and the city of Shushan was Mis Arbala. It's a very hard word. He's trying to translate the word Dich was Nevocha. Navocha is, we're assuming now, means confused. Bechedvas amimin, nuchrin, due to the joy of the amimin nuchrain of the foreign nations. In other words, they figured it out. Okay, even though it was, like you said, Mr. Rapport, it was leaked. There were leaks. They figured out exactly what's going on. They figured out the joy, the Amin Nuchran, they were rejoicing. Ah, we count down the days until we're going to destroy the Jews and we're going to take their money. Uvikal b'chisa da'amo beis Yisrael. And here he adds in something interesting that they were crying. And indeed, this is the way it's translated in the Targum Sheni. See, here in the Targum Rishon, he translates the word Nevoch, right, exactly. So in the Targum, in Targum Sheni, there's only one translation for the word Nevocha. It's B'chi, crying. They were crying. Here he has another word, Misarbala. The character de Shushan Misarbala was confused. What does the Sif Secham say? Doesn't say anything on the translation. Okay, but there is a difference of opinion as to the exact translation of the word Nevocha. The Medrash clearly says there was confusion. People were in a state of bewilderment. But the Targum Sheni only has one translation, crying. Targum Rishon seems to say both. The word Nevocha means, first they were in a state of bewilderment, Mis Arbala, and the second time, then he repeats, why would they be bewildered? Because the people of the Goyim were celebrating, and the Jewish people was Bechisa, they were crying. So the bewilderment was, some people are crying, some people are rejoicing, that creates a sense of confusion. How can both of these things exist at the same moment in time?
They were scared from the impending announcement. They knew something was cooking and was not good. Do you have the Medrash there on that point?
The Targum Sheni?
No, do you have the Medrash on this point?
The women, the people fell to pits? That Medrash?
No.
Which pits?
Yeah, he said that the Jews realized they were condemned.
Yeah.
So even a routine shopping trip was fraught with terror. A Jew would go out to the marketplace to buy some meat or vegetables. The Persians would grab him by the throat and choke him and terrorize him in the street. And say to him, tomorrow I'm going to kill you and take your money.
Right. So,
this is what it says. The city of Shushan was bewildered. It wasn't just the publication of the edict that upset the Jews. Jew haters immediately were emboldened to harass and threaten them, barely able to restrain themselves and uncertain if or why they had to wait.
So they're ready with sakonis nefashos. Immediately, that's how the Medrash elaborates. Mevocha. Okay, now, I want to share with you some other things I came across in the different sefer, Sereci Bamedinos. I think it's very relevant to Trump. This is how I reacted to Trump, and this is how I think a lot of other... I read a very good article online about analysis of Trump. Mevocha. People, this is a drush. Could be it's based upon a medrash. I don't have the details. But the goyim... The question is, why does it say V'ho'ir, the city of Shushan was Nevocha? What was the majority of the population of the Shushan?
Goyim.
Definitely. 99% were non-Jews. No question about it.
Yes.
Rashi, what is Rashi? So Rashi was so if you'd read the pasuk at face value, you would say that the Goyim in Shushan were Nevocha. The Goyim in Shushan were bewildered. They were walking around in a daze. So Rashi says, no. They were not walking around. They were not. The Targum says, no. The people of the Goyim were celebrating. The bars were open until the late hours of the night. Nevocha refers to the Jews. The Jews were crying. Or the atmosphere in Shushan was a bit confusing because the Goyim were celebrating and the Jews were crying. Rashi is even more clear, as we mentioned. Rashi says, Ve'ir Shushan Nevocha, HaYehudim Sheba. Do not make a mistake and think that the people, the reason why Shushan, the Goyim in Shushan were bewildered, of course not. The Jews in Shushan were in a state of bewilderment. But that's not the Pshuta Shel Mikra. The Pshuta Shel Mikra is the city itself, which was comprised of 99% Goyim. They were the ones in a state of bewilderment. So the answer is, Enochanami, the Goyim were afraid for themselves. And they said, if today the king decides to do something radical, to do something extreme, and say all the Jews are slated for destruction, who says tomorrow he won't say all of the Egyptians should be slated for destruction? Who says the next day he won't do, he'll come, all the women, there'll be some laws, racial discrimination from one against the other? When Trump, he said that because of this terrorist threat, we have to stop immigration from all the Muslim countries. There's no Muslim shall be allowed to enter the United States. Many intelligent people who are very liberal, very conservative, very right wing, who would be very happy that the president should take a very strong hand against terrorism, got very frightened. Because if you have someone that talks like this and talks irresponsibly and says extreme things, and we should prevent any person from coming into this country, then who's next? Who knows? Let's say, well, they're not going to be happy with the policy that in Israel of how the Jewish state deals with terrorists. So you know what? Punishment to Israel. No Jewish people can come to this country either. No. If you are an extremist, if you are unpredictable, you are in a lot of trouble. The king is unstable. His edict is something which indicates he is not a healthy person. His mind, he's not mentally stable. If he can do something as ridiculous as this, even though all of them are going, they hate the Jews, and they're very happy to punish the Jews, but to go make a law and on one day to wipe out a whole race and to let everyone keep their money, this person is just not stable. And even though we're very happy for it to be done, but who knows what is coming next? And we may be the next people. There were other immigrants in Shushan Habira. And therefore the Pasuk says, according to the similar interpretation, not like Rashi and the Targum, V'ho'ir Shushan Nevocha, the people, the Goyim of Shushan, were in a state of bewilderment. We got a problem here. We have a king who is out of control. He's out of control, and even though he's doing something which the vast majority are very happy and pleased, but who knows what's next? Isn't this what? What?
So crazy about the analogy, though.
Because you're pro-Trump.
I understand. I just don't like the analogy. I don't think anyone...
The idea is...
...control or
The idea is someone who's not stable is a dangerous person. Okay, now the next very important point is why is it necessary to say that Hamelech v'Haman yashvu l'shtos, they sat down to drink. So the truth is, this ties into Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet, it says Mordechai yodes kol asher nasa. Okay, we're going to see the Targum soon. Mordechai, the Targum is going to reveal to us, a very long Targum, is going to reveal to us the reason why the Jewish people deserved this the gzera. It's either because they were nene misuda sachashverosh, they had pleasure from the party that was a celebration of their destruction, or because they bowed down to the idol in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Only a couple of years ago, Nebuchadnezzar, he erected a statue, an idol, and he demanded the entire world come bow down to the idol of the Zara, and the Jewish people were very willing to go and bow down to the idol. Those are the only two reasons given why the Jewish people were slated for harm. However, the Targum Sheni says that the reason why they were slated for destruction was a punishment for Mechiras Yosef. Shocking idea. We thought Asarug Malchus wasn't already enough to be Mechaper on the later, the Asarug Malchus, time of the Bayis Sheni, and the Bayis Sheni was for Mechiras Yosef. The punishment for Mechiras Yosef is an ongoing theme throughout Jewish history. Mechiras Yosef and the Chet HaEgel and the Meraglim, really there are big three. There are the Meraglim, there is the Chet HaEgel, and Chava. What do you want from a woman? What are you starting up with the women, a mayor? A chet or egel?
That's part of the English that
the chet or egel, Mechiras Yosef, and the Meraglim. But here it says, the Targum Sheni says there's only one Avera for which the Jewish people were now suffering from, and the time has come to pay the debt of Mechiras Yosef. What? So that's why Mordechai. That is why Mordechai was the one to bring salvation, because he indeed was not part of the gezerah. They were guilty. What do you mean?
Other people, other Jews, I assume, were from Shem Binyam.
The representative Binyam, Mordechai was a representative of Shem Binyam, and he was the one that was successful in redeeming them and saving them, because he indeed had the least to do with this. He had the least to do with the mechira. He was not involved in the mechira at all. He was in fact the savior. What about? Okay, I don't. It's not a perfect answer. What?
Menashe and Ephraim also didn't deserve to be punished.
They were all Nichlal and Yosef. Menashe and Ephraim are an extension of Yosef, and Chazal criticized Yosef. They do blame Yosef for his own mechir. He antagonized them. Yosef should have been more careful not to antagonize his brothers, to hate him, and ultimately sell him. So they do criticize Yosef. Menashe and Ephraim are descendants of Yosef. So this is very interesting. We, in the Gemara, there's no mention of this. The Gemara only mentions bowing down to an idol in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. The Gemara mentions being nene from the Sud of Achashverosh. And indeed, the Targum of the next pasuk is going to mention these two ideas. But the Targum Sheni says a whole new idea. It's Mechiras Yosef. And that answers a million questions. There are numerous similarities between the story of Purim and the story of Yosef with Eishes Potiphar. Yosef interprets dreams, and Yosef was the Tabas, Mishnah Lamelech, and Esther was taken to the queen, and they both had plans. There are books on this to draw out all of the analogies between Esther Hamalka and Yosef Hatzadik, which we'll maybe discuss at another point in time. So what's the my inyan ze eitzel ze? Why is there such an important relationship between these two things? It's because it's history repeating itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is now making these similarities in order to remind us, to bring to our attention, that we have failed to do tshuva for the chet of Mechiras Yosef. The chet of Mechiras Yosef is really rooted in Sinas Chinam, and as long as there will be Sinas Chinam, Hashem will always hold us accountable for the ultimate chet of Sinas Chinam, the chet of Mechiras Yosef. Okay, now, with that in mind, with that foundation in mind, this pasuk becomes extremely significant. There is a medrash that says that the truth is, when the brothers sold Yosef, we really can't blame them for what they've done. If we look at the story in the big picture of things, if we put ourselves in their shoes, they had very strong and correct reasons why Yosef deserved to be sold, deserved to be eliminated from the Jewish scene. After all, Avraham had Psoilas, he had a Yishmael, and Yitzchak had Psoilas of Esav. So it's not so far-fetched to say that Yaakov also had Psoilas, and the Psoilas was Yosef, and Yosef had to be driven away. Ki Gorosh Ha'omo Hazos. Just like Sarah said to Avram, you have to drive away Ishmael. So too, Yosef had to be driven away. Yosef was a Murid B'malchus. Yosef was antagonizing them. He was doing things that were strange. He was saying Lashon Hara. They had very, very legitimate reasons why he should be removed from Klal Yisrael. Where exactly then did they go wrong? Where then did they go wrong in the Mechira? The point of revelation is after they sold Yosef, it says in the Pasuk, Vayeshvu le'echol. They sat down to have a good meal.
With wine also.
Red wine. What does the Pasuk say? I'm asking, he's not here. Vayeshvu le'echol v'lishtos. It says in the Pasuk there, they sat down to eat and to drink. That's that, the Medrash says, is the key point, the key detail. If really this is a religious sale and you are confident that what you've done is MS, you don't just sit down to have a meal to celebrate and relax and take off your shoes and play games after you've sold your brother Yosef. The fact that they had no bad conscience of what they've done, and they can sit down and eat and drink and just, big deal, reveals there's something fundamentally wrong in the Mechira of Yosef.
I read, it's interesting, Yosef is technically not their full brother. He was a half-brother.
Okay.
He, not only that, he came from another mother, who Rachel, or from Leah, or from...
Exactly, so there were many reasons why they...
The main ones were from Leah. They hated...
They had good reason to hate him, and they believed that they were doing was the right thing. But if you've just sold your brother, and you go and you sit down, you have your party. Okay, now we're going to go out to eat. We'll go to a movie and go out to eat. What?
No guilt. There was no guilt.
It's not. They've done something very significant. They've done. They. If they're really preparing Klal Yisrael for their future, and they felt that Yosef is a threat to the kedusha of Klal Yisrael, it's not the right thing to do. Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Do you go to the movies? Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Do you go out to a restaurant to eat? Do you go have a ball game at Yom Kippur? When Yom Kippur is over, you just don't go from Yom Kippur to July 4th weekend.
You do have a Suda.
You have a Suda, but a Suda because you're fasting.
But you're not to have a Suda after you fast. This is the real formal Suda, people said.
Maybe it's not a good idea, but it's a Suda for the Simcha of the Mechilas Lavoinais.
Right.
But it's a religious meal. It's a religious meal. But you don't go and do things Mitzvah Yom Kippur that you would do the whole year round.
This brother had been in there, a thorn in their side.
Yes.
A number of months, years.
But you still don't celebrate. It's not a pleasant thing. When the Bezin, let's say another example, the Bezin, they kill someone. A person doesn't have Aries, or a Tzeach. A Bezin kills him. When after the Bezin, they kill the person, they just go and they July 4th celebration. You don't do that. You have to come down. You have to, what's the right word? You have to gradually return to a normal way of life. Chassidim harishonim, they would sit in the Beis HaKnesses for 1 hour before davening. They would daven, and then they would shoya, they would delay in the Beis HaKnesses for an additional hour when davening was over before they would leave and they would go out to work. Because you don't just go from a holy event to a mundane existence. There has to be a transition. The fact that there was no transition, they sat down to eat and drink and they couldn't care less. They ate. They sat down to eat. It showed they did not take this thing seriously enough. And the fact they did not take it seriously enough is a revelation that they did not do it 100% l'shem shamayim. They did it because they hate him. There's sinas chinam. A person can never truly trust himself. When you do something, you fool yourself with the thing, you're doing it l'shem shamayim. You're doing it, unfortunately, you're doing it shalom l'shem shamayim, you don't even realize. And the proof that it was not l'shem shamayim is if the Torah could record, they sat down to eat, like nothing ever happened, it showed that there's something wrong.
In the middle of the meal, they said, oh, let's celebrate.
Right, you have to elaborate upon this.
Then they celebrated it.
But obviously they ruled on their brother and they weren't objective about it.
That's the problem. They were not objective.
If they had a problem, they should have gone to business.
That's exactly the point. Exactly the point. They should have went and brought this issue to someone else because they're no gevedavar. They fooled themselves in believing that they can handle this on their own. The fact that vayeshu lechol lechem when it was over is an indication that they failed in what they thought they can do. And mida keneged mida, the Medrash here says, the hamelech v'haman yashu l'shtos. They couldn't care less. Clear conscience. Couldn't care less. They just decided. They just passed laws, legislation, and they passed laws. They sent letters to wipe out
genocide.
Big deal. Now let's party. July 4th celebration. Take out the sprinklers. Take out the champagne. Watch a movie like nothing ever happened. How can you do this? How can you go and then declare genocide and then just sit down? Just sit down and drink? What's going on over here? It's mida keneged mida. We did this to our own brother. We sold him as a slave. We came that close to killing him. And then, vayeshu le'echol lechem. Who cares? Good riddance. Mida keneged mida. This event, v'hamelech v'haman yashu l'shtos, when the people in Klal Yisrael, they saw that the king, the Haman, they're having a party after they passed this law to destroy the Jewish people. It reminded them of what they did to their brother Yosef, sinas chinam. It reminded them they should still do tshuva before it's too late. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Dal Perek Dalin. Mordechai Yoda es kol asher nasa. Mordechai was aware of everything that was done. He knew all the secrets. Mordechai had access to what was written in the concealed letter. Vayikra Mordechai es bigodav. He ripped his clothing. Vayilbash sak va'efer. He put on sackcloth and efer, ash. Vayetze b'socha'ir, in the middle of the city. Vayizak ze'aka gidelo umara. He cried out with a bitter, a loud cry, and a cry that was bitter. Rashi says, Mordechai Yada, who told him? How did Mordechai know what was written in the secret letter? Mordechai certainly did not have access to this information. So Rashi is something very bizarre. Bal hachaloim omaloi sheskimu hel yoinim alkach. The Bal hachaloim. Who is the Bal
hachaloim? Not so much what was written, but why this decree is coming.
Why? Okay, we're going to see that. Why? So Rashi explains. So the Baal HaChaloyim, the informer was a Baal HaChaloyim. It was not a human being. It was not a human being. It was not a... What?
I thought you were going to tell us it's Yosef.
Maybe it was Yosef. He made Baal HaChaloyim as Halozebo. So maybe, you know, it could very well be that maybe there's some illusion that this whole thing over here is tying into Yosef. We're connecting into Yosef, so it's the Baal HaChaloyim. All right. But the Baal HaChaloyim, what is the Baal HaChaloyim? The Baal HaChaloyim appears to be neutral. It's not the Sitra Achra. It's not a Koyach of Tumah. We know that there's a possibility, there's Oyvi Yidoyni. And the person wants to know what's going on in the other world. In ancient times, it was no big deal. You want to know what's going on in Shema, you want to know what's happening in the future, no big deal. You go to a cemetery, and you take some skeletons, some bones, and you do this, you do that, you say some chants, hocus pocus, and you, if you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing, you have the ability to communicate with the other side of the other world through the koyach of Tumah. And then you can communicate with the other world through the koyach of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, whatever that means, Kedusha. There are two different means of communication. There are two phones. There's the red phone and the black phone. Which for the one phone is the Koyach HaTumah, and the other phone is the Koyach of Kedusha. The Baal HaChaloyim is neutral. I bring information from the other world, not to the Koyach HaTumah, and not to the Koyach of Kedusha. What's the nafka mina? I have no idea. Information is information. I don't know. There must be some nafka mina. Why was it not to the Kohen HaTumah? Because Mordechai wouldn't dare communicate through with the other world through the Koychos of Tumah. It's also ben Torah. And in fact, the Zechi of Misa's Bezdin, if you communicate to the other world through the Oivi Yidoini and all of these Koychos of Tumah, why not communicate to the other world with the Koych of Kedusha, Ruach HaKodesh? The answer is simple, because Ein Ruach HaKodesh only rests upon a person mitoch Simcha. There is no simcha. If the Jewish people are slated for genocide, there is no simcha. So there's no way Mordechai can possibly communicate with Ruach HaKodesh. We know that Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh. That's a given. He was even a Navi. But here it was through a neutral means of communication called the Baal HaChalayim. You go to sleep, the Malach comes, the Magid comes and tells you. That's why the Beis Yosef, he wrote a sefer called the Magid Meisharim. The Beis Yosef every single night had communication with an angel. It doesn't say that this angel was a holy angel. It's a Magid. Maybe he had Ruach HaKodesh, was it to Simcha? Whatever it was, there's this koyach called the Baal HaChalayim that comes and relates to you important information. Now, what was the information? That don't take this matter lightly. This thing indeed will happen. The Jewish people will come to an end. The world will then come to an end. Why? Because they deserve it. Why do they deserve it? Not like the Targum Sheni, that it's a punishment for Mechiras Yosef, but rather instead, number one, they bow down to the Olam Nebuchadnezzar. Number two, v'shenenu misudas achashverosh, they celebrated their own destruction in the beginning of the Megillah of the Sudas Achashverosh. Now let's see the Targum.
See, there's another reference. There's another. You always say I'm from the Torah. The Gilas Torah says at the bottom that he did know it through Ruach.
Well, okay, so it's coming to be Cholik in a Chanami.
Read a little further. It seems that it says Elio told.
Oh, that's the Targum. That's the Targum. The Targum says it was Elio. Okay. Now we'll come to the Sifsei Chacham in a moment, but let's first see the Targum. It's a very long Targum. Let's see. Mordechai Yoda al Yodah de Eliyahu Kahana Rabba. Okay, so immediately the Targum says, let's not play games here. There's no Ruach HaKodesh. I don't know who this Baal HaChalayim is. Poshet, Eliyahu HaNavi. He comes around all the time. There's a brisk flapush every day somewhere.
There's one on your corner, there's one in the tent. Did you see that tent?
Oh, that's what it was for?
Bris, he had a baby in the corner. He's in his 50s. Last night they had the party before the bris. And they had the bris in the tent.
Ah, I was wondering what is going on. I thought it was a parlor meeting.
With valet parking and everything. It was unbelievable.
Lights. Last night, the whole house was lit up in the colors.
Unbelievable. Who is this?
What's his name?
I don't remember. He's a criminal lawyer or something like
that.
Ah. Well,
not criminal. No. Which one? Criminal or lawyer?
It's a.
That's what it was. Who?
That's exactly what
I mean. So this is not his first child?
No, he has grown children.
That's grown children, huh?
He's old. The Rabbi Jaffa told me he's in his 50s and his wife's like a little younger, so she must have been like...
Wow, okay. Who's the Moel? Who's the Moel? Okay, so here it says that Mordechai he learned this information from Mordechai Yoda al Yodah de Eliyahu Kahana Rabba. The great Kohen, he himself came and revealed this information to Mordechai. Yos Komadi Sabed B'Shmei Miroma. The information was not so much what's going on in this room, but what's going on in Shemayim. Umadi Is Chayvu Amo Beis Yisrael Lish Tei Tzo'ah. They were slated for destruction. We go Alma from this world. Now here the Heichma, and just like the Is Kisiv, just like it was written, the Is Chatim, and it was sealed, it was signed, Le'ovadushon, to destroy, min Ilave Ara, from this world, from the lower worlds, Hechdein, likewise, Is Kisivu was written, the Is Chatim, and it was sealed, Bishmei Meroma, in heaven, Al Isak, the Is Haniu. Now, what's the reason? So, it gives the same two reasons. Number one, because the Is Haniu, min Su'utse de Achashverosh, Rishia. Notice here that the Targum is reversing the order. Because they had benefit from the party of Achashverosh, Rashi said the first sin was they bowed down to the Tselem in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Targum says the first sin was that they had pleasure from the party of Achashverosh in the beginning of the Megillah celebrating their own destruction. Beram Choyvasa, Havichas, I'm sorry, only one reason. The Ishanisu min Sudzutse da Achashverosh Rashia. Baram bought. However, Elio Hanavi gave Mordechai some good news. He said to Mordechai, I have bad news and good news. What do you want to hear first? The bad news is the Jews are slated for genocide. The good news is what?
That's another thing. He tells him why.
Why? And you know why? Because they had. Because you were right. You told them not to go to the party. They did not listen. They went to the party. They had benefit. And therefore, they're going to be destroyed. That's the bad news. Now, you want to hear the good news? The good news is the Gezerah is not sealed in blood, it's only sealed in clay. And there is a rule in Shemayim. Okay, first rule, you take the course. The rules of heaven, course 101, they teach you in heaven.
In heaven,
if the gezeirah is issued in clay, it's sealed in clay, it can be reversed. But if it's sealed in blood, it cannot be reversed. So the good news is, Baram bat, chosoma dahave chosim mintina. It's only sealed in clay, not in blood, so there's still hope he left. So Mordechai says, okay, I got a job. I have my work cut out for me. What am I going to do? So Mordechai, he goes to the Kivrei Avos. I mean, he goes to Shadar Morei Alma Yosef. I'm sorry, let's go further. Shadar Morei Alma Yosef Liokana Rabba Lechavo LeMordechai. So, and he says to Mordechai, Hashem has sent me, Elio, the Kahana Rabba, to speak to Mordechai. Dikum, you should get up, Mordechai. Vitzale Kodom Mori Alma Al Amei. So you should pray for to Hashem for your nation. The Chad Yod Mordechai. When Mordechai heard the bad news, what did he do? Bizayos levushoi. He ripped his clothing. He rent his clothing. The albeish levusha the sack. He put on sackcloth. Why sackcloth? Sackcloth, it irritates the skin. Okay, that's the reason why in times of mourning, and traditionally, you take off your nice fancy clothing, you put on sackcloth. Sackcloth is made from the hair of goats. And it is extremely irritating to the flesh to have that hair rub against your body. It brings discomfort. And that's why when a person is in a state of mourning, a state of tsar, he should feel pain. He should do physical acts of tsar.
That's what Melech Nimrod did.
He put on sackcloth. They even do it today. Today, if you notice, everything is online today. When they have a yom tzom, when they have an Eretzul Yom Tzom for any type of whatever type of event, you see when they show pictures of people at the Kaisel or people Yom Tzom, you'll notice there are always some people that have sackcloth. They have it today. They made it today. They take off their clothes, they put on these garments of sackcloth in order to fulfill what it says, sack, the Vayilbash sack for Efer. In order to be mishtatef in the tsar of Klal Yisrael, the albish levusha the sack garments made from sackcloth al bitzre upon his flesh, the shavei kitma al reishe he put ash on his head. This is similar to what Yaakov did when Yosef. It says he put what is that? I don't remember the pasuk, but when Yaakov mourned for Yosef, it says he put ether al mosnaf. The end of the parasha, right? In the parasha, he put when he found out that his son, he did various acts. Al reishe the ukeval kavle rabba, and he cried out a great cry. Ubacha bimrius, he cried. He kavel means he screamed. A kevelta rabasa uvecha nirius navsha, and he cried a bitter cry. Bekal otsev with a sad voice. Now the what?
It says,
sack bimosnov. Sackcloth bimosnov. So it says Beferish he also did. He also put on. There's another parallel between the story of Yosef and the story of Mordechai. Mordechai is following the of Yaakov Avinu when he mourned over the loss of his son Yosef, because all of this is now history is repeating itself in order to be Mechaber.
There's another parallel that he tore his clothing.
Yaakov also tore his clothing.
The brothers.
Or his coat. His coat.
They tore
possible.
Their clothing when Binyamin was.
When Binyamin was. Well, that was part of the tshuva.
They found the goblet. In Binyamin's
sack, right. So they tore their clothes.
So that's another
parallel.
Brother Levine, could you explain? The Sifsei Chomer seems to say, he's commenting on Rashi, that the Ikar Avera was bowing down to Nuchametz. And Hashem delayed his anger, and then he went to the Suda.
The two of them combined, they joined forces.
So I can understand the Ikar Avera, it would seem, according to Sifsei Chomer, was bowing down, which is Yaravel Yavar.
Correct.
But what was the great Avera here that they went to a party? Okay, Enochinami, it's an Avera. But why was it Mechuyim?
Because the essence of the party was to celebrate that the Jewish people will never return to their former glory.
And that's Chayiv Misa?
It's not Chayiv, it's even worse than Chayiv Misa. It's worse. It's even worse than the big three. You're becoming an apostate. You're giving up your Yadus. You're being Miyayish on everything that all of your ancestors ever worked for. It's even worse. It's worse. There's avodah zarah, gilei raya, shvichastam. They can be taiva. They can be reasons. But to go and celebrate your destruction, that the world, the Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, everything that Avraham Avinu, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and all of the Shvatim, the whole history of Klal Yisrael, 850 years of Klal Yisrael go living with Shraim and Eretz Yisrael, it's over. It's all over. Is it? Are you celebrating to the fact that it's all over? In essence, it's even worse than the big three. So the Mefarshim, these two, they actually worked together. Chazal said that had they only bowed down to the idol and they not celebrated, they not gone to the party, Hashem would have delayed the punishment. The punishment would have come years later, not at this point in time, and it would not have been so severe. But because they also celebrated their destruction, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring the punishment upon them immediately at this point in time. Okay, now the Medrash actually goes further.
Was from the first Avera or just...
Both of them combined together. Both the Ikar Avera, according to Rashi, Rashi puts the Avera of bowing down to the idol first. That was a very great Chilul Hashem. When the Jewish people bowed down to the idol, it was a very good Chilul Hashem. They deserved to be destroyed just for that. But Hashem would have delayed that punishment if not for the fact that they also did another Avera by celebrating in the party of Achashverosh. The two come together. And the Medrash says, after the Eliyahu Navi told Mordechai that it's been decreed in Hashemayim that you're going to be destroyed, and it's been sealed in clay. So you should daven. The Medrash elaborates that Mordechai immediately went to the kvarm of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He communicated with them. And he said, "Be mispalel, your children are about to be destroyed." They asked Mordechai, "What did they do?" That's also very telling. What the dead do not know what's going on in this world. So from many midrashim, you actually see that to be so, that the dead do not know fully what is taking place in this world, what sin the Jewish people have committed. So Mordechai said, "Well, they bowed down to the idol, and they would nene from the Suda of Achashverosh." So shockingly, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov said, "Okay, let them get what they deserve. Don't bother us. We're not going to waste our time being mispalel for the Jewish people, because that's right, if they bow down to the idol and they celebrate their own destruction, you know what? Good, so let them come to an end and get what they deserve." So Mordechai was very sad. So he went to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, "Moshe, you know what's happening over here? You were the only one who saved them at the time of the eagle. Maybe you can do something." So Moshe said, "You're right. I'm going to help you. You'll be mispalel in the lower worlds. I'll be mispalel in the upper worlds. And together as a team, we will succeed in annulling this gezerah."
Tell them where the kever of Moshe was.
Well, I don't know. How do you know the kever of Lo Yada Ish Es Kivura Saw? Ish Yehudi Hoya Veshushan Habira. Somehow he committed. This one it says in the Medrash.
And Mordechai was Mordechai a client? No, he was from Binyamin.
Mordechai Rashi. So we learn over here an incredible chiddush that Moshe Rabbeinu had more rachmanis upon Klal Yisrael than the avos. Why is that so? So it ties into the pasuk in Parashas Vo'era el Avraham el Yitzhak v'el Yaakov u'shmi Hashem loy nedati lohem. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, all three to some degree represent Midas Hadin. Hashem created the world, it was his intent the world should exist al Midas Hadin. When Hashem saw that the world cannot reach, maintain that standard, he was Mishtatef Midas Hadin with Midas Harachamim. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Midas Harachamim. He was introduced to the name of Yudkei Vavkei. Yudkei Vavkei, we all know, is the name of Hashem that represents Midas Harachamim. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did not know this name. They only knew the name of Shakai, Sha'omar, Lelomodai, whatever it means, but it's a different. It's a different, and therefore it was Moshe Rabbeinu that came to the rescue for us on Purim. We mentioned this before, and that is why there are many similarities between Moshe and Mordechai, and many have a minog on Purim to even light a candle in honor of Moshe. Now, we don't do this, but there are various minhagim to do things in memory of Moshe Rabbeinu on Purim, because it was Moshe in the Medrash that came to the rescue to save Klal Yisrael after Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did not want to help. Okay, there's another important yisod.
There was an incident where Avraham represents
Chesed. Yeah, that's another. So that's during the time of the Chorban. So that's another story. How do you connect these two stories is a big mystery. That La'asid Lavo, when Mashiach, the time of Mashiach will come, the Jewish people will not be holding, there'll be a great sakana to Klal Yisrael. Hashem himself will approach Avraham Avinu and say to Avraham, you know, your children, they're about to be destroyed. Do you have anything to say? So Avraham says, well, what did they do? Hashem says they did X, Y, and Z. Avraham says, okay, good. Let them get what they deserve. Hashem then goes to Yaakov. And Hashem says the same speech. Yaakov says, so let them get what they deserve. Hashem says, oy, the old man and the youngster, they just don't have any rachmanis. It's no good. Let me go to Yitzchak. Hashem goes to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak says, Hashem, what's the big deal? How long does a person live? He only lives 70 years. Half the time he's sleeping. He goes to Beis HaKisei. He's eating. He's too busy to sin. So how many years does he already have left? Nu, chatzi ali v'chatzi alach. Let's split. In my zechus will forgive half, and you, Hashem, will forgive the other half. So what do you learn from that story? That Yitzchak is the one that has rachmanis upon Klal Yisrael, who succeeds in saving Klal Yisrael, where Avraham and Yaakov fail.
Also, Moshe Rabbeinu carried the Jews all these time. He was more involved with them. It's more natural that he
was a father and a child.
And he even told them, you know, wipe me out from your sefer. If you
Machena Mesivcha Shekosavti, you're not going to forgive the Jewish people.
More removed.
Okay, Nechanam, he has to be understood what it means.
It's like a mother that's involved with the child or the dying.
Always have Rachmanis.
Still the mother.
Always have Nechanam.
Some say the Yitzhak was the first one that encountered anti-Semitism with Abimelech, right? He drove him out. I think what Wine says, the first one encountered it, when he drove him out, get out, you're rich, away.
Yeah.
It was first Yitzhak Avinu, was the first one who encountered it, he says. Then Abimelech comes back to him.
Okay, fine. It's a different idea. Okay, so we're looking with one last thought, and this is very important aside for the entire story of Purim. Here we're learning here that this event, according to the Targum, is a kapara for Mechiras Yosef. And let's even go back. Let's go back to the middle of the paragimel where we learned that Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachaveh. And we learned that Mordechai represents Yaakov Avinu. Haman represents Esav. And even though we know that Yaakov bowed seven times before Esav, now Mordechai says no more. Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachve. Mordechai was from Binyamin never bowed. And here again, we're repeating the entire story again and again. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want for us? So the answer is, this is the yisod is that there are things that we can accomplish in this generation that our ancestors were unable to accomplish. Now that sounds like heresy. How could it be that we can do things they could not do? Niskadu hadaros. We don't come to even a mashahu of the greatness of our ancestors. That's absolutely correct. We are on an infinitely lower level of spirituality than our ancestors. Yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Chochmah and Rachmanis, he left over for the later generations a koyach, a unique power to accomplish things that even our ancestors could not do. Yaakov Avinu had no choice, he had to bow. For whatever reason, Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Shaviyavos, he bowed 7 times before his brother Esav. And all of that, what it represents. But yet, 20 generations later, Mordechai can't hold a candle to Yaakov Avinu. It's nothing. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he left over for Mordechai the Koyach, or Mordechai lo yichra velo yishtachaveh. And likewise here, all of these things are now going to be presented. Moshe is going to gather, attempts to gather the Avos. Then he tries to get Moshe Rabbeinu to be mispalel, to be misakin, to do things, to make a correction for things that were done wrong in ancient times. And don't be disturbed that if our ancestors were unable to find a solution or to succeed in overcoming problems in ancient times, how do we expect for us in this generation of Tam Mordechai to accomplish? That's exactly the point of the Megillah. The point of the Megillah is to teach a person that Hashem always leaves over for you the ability and a mission to do something that even your great-great-great-grandfather could not accomplish. So here, living in the 21st century, Hey Allah from Tavshin Ayin Hey, there are things that we can do, that we can accomplish, that even the others cannot accomplish. And that's exactly, that's why we're here. We're not just here by an accident, we're here for a mission, for a purpose. And it's hard for us to understand why we can do it and they could not do it, but yet that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And every person has their unique mission. That is the story of the Megillah. Okay, we'll stop over here.
You know, the connection between Purim and Moshe Rabbeinu, technically Purim is the day you get up from Shiva from Moshe Rabbeinu.
7 days after, right, that's right.
And, you know, as far as Mr. Rapport, you know, he was going on a technicality, not by his Misa, or going to find, but if you look at it as mass assimilation, it's like Shmat, and on Shmat, the Chayim Misa, even for a minor impression, you know, just going to technicality.
Moshe sure Rabbeinu could help them because he's an expert in the Eretz Yisrael people.
Okay, I have two handouts. Two handouts.
Yeah.
Oh, this one, yes. This one, yes. Then here's the second page. Here is the continuation. This is the...
You should take it back and print on the other side. You get it back at the end anyway. What are you going to do, edit the Seamus? Just print the second side.
It's not going to go into the printer so well. Once it gets used, the printer's going to jam.